As one tree like me, fox in grief, Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. This was number 15 on the 26th of February, 1986, p.m.
under an ugly government, a fascist government, which is pretending to be democratic, but it is not. It is pure hypocrisy. I am not resentful against the government of America. Whatever they did to me, I have taken note of it. And I have seen their real face. And I am going to expose that face to the whole world, not out of resentment, but with a hope. Perhaps this exposure may change them. Even if they do not change, they will lose faith before the world. Either they have to change themselves, or they will be losing millions of people around the world who would have been their friends. I was one of their friends. My people were their friends. They have unnecessarily lost millions of friends. I feel sorry for them, but the question of resentment does not arise. For the simple reason that my heart has no space for resentment, no space for anger, no space for hatred. Even if they had killed me, I would have died with immense love towards them. And that love would not be the same as Jesus Christ. For 2,000 years, Christian theologians have been misinterpreting Jesus. His last words on the cross were, "Father, forgive these people because they know not what they are doing." If you analyze this statement, it has many implications. First, you can forgive only if you have already become angry. Asking God to forgive them does not show that God is angry, because nobody knows about God. But Jesus is angry and resentful. But he is trying his best to follow his philosophy. That philosophy is not his way of life. That's why a great effort is needed to follow it. It is not spontaneous. So first to ask God to forget these people. Those resentment, anger. Secondly, the reason he is asking them to be forgiven is very egoistic. He is saying they do not know what they are doing. He knows they do not know. That was the whole problem for which he was being crucified. That he was pretending to be the only begotten Son of God. That his words were directly from God. That he knows, and nobody knows. Everybody is ignorant. He is stubborn. Even at the last moment, he does not forget his stubbornness. He is not humble. To think yourself that you know and nobody else knows is pure egoism. If the American government has killed me, as they had all the preparations for, I would not have any resentment for them. Because I cannot have any resentment in my heart, I could have only loved them. I could not have prayed because there is no God to pray. If I had to say to existence, I would have said to existence, that these people exactly know what they are doing. Make them a little more aware. So that they don't go on doing the same thing to other people. To me, it matters nothing. I have attained the ultimate experience of my life. Now that does not matter. Why should I feel resentful? They are not stopping me from anything. They are not taking anything away from me. They cannot take away my experience. They cannot take away my being. But they exactly know what they are doing. They should not do it to others, because others may not have yet experienced the light, the innermost shrine of their being. They may be still empty. And if they are killed, their life is simply wasted. One great opportunity lost. I have no philosophy. I have only a way of life. This is spontaneous. I don't have a program, a discipline to follow, a certain creed to live accordingly. I live moment to moment. I do not look backwards. I do not look forward. I am absolutely centered in the moment, here now. Those two words define my way of life. I would love to settle in South France. But I don't have much communion with French people. They are the most unknown people to me on the earth. And the reason is that every country has developed certain characteristics. The French have developed a characteristic that they think that as far as philosophy is concerned, they are at the top. It is not true. But this gives them a closeness. And whoever thinks in this way becomes closed. In India, we have many languages, 30 languages. It is almost a continent like Europe. And each language has as many people as European countries. In India, the parallel to the French are the Bengalis. They have the same attitude that their language is best, their literature is best, their philosophy is best, and they don't have to learn anything from anybody. You will be surprised. I have been visiting Calcutta for 30 years continuously. But in 30 years, I could not manage to have some communion with the Bengalis. in Calcutta, non-Bengalis were coming to see me. Non-Bengalis were listening to me. Non-Bengalis were becoming sannyasis. And I inquired again and again that what is the problem, that Calcutta is the capital of the Bengalis. It is their homeland, but I don't see a single Bengali. They said that this is the difficulty with the Bengalis. They have a very closed mind. The same is the situation of the French mind in Europe. In Europe, almost every other nation has thousands of sannyasis, except France. They think they do not have to communicate with other human beings. They are self-satisfied. It is a dangerous disease to be so close. If you know if your philosophy is the best, if your literature is the best, if your language is the best, then too you have to share. You have to communicate. You have so many good things. Are you going to hoard them? And remember a fundamental law of life. Anything that you don't share dies. Share and it grows. There and it gets new dimensions to it. So I am not saying that they don't have a great philosophy. They have. I am not saying they don't have a great literature. They have. I am not saying that their language is not one of the most beautiful. It is. But these are not the reasons to close your mind. These could be the reasons to make you more open. So you can share. And howsoever a philosophy is great, it is never perfect. Nothing is perfect in this world. And you can learn always from others. You can always make it more perfect. You can always give it more juice, more life. I don't have much personal contact with the French people. this I cannot say much about it, but I am going to come. And I will try my heart to break the ice and there must be few people who are ready to be open and send me. Just I need few people. And if they are put aflame, then the fire becomes wild very soon. And it is spread to every corner of the country. I feel perhaps the closed mind is afraid. I remember I was traveling with a friend a ticket collector came I showed him my ticket and my friend started looking into his bags and luggage and this pocket and that pocket but I watched that he is not looking in the right pocket on his coat everywhere he was looking and I said to him that you are forgetting to look at the right side pocket of your coat he said don't mention it I said are you mad you are looking for the ticket He said, that is my only hope. And I don't want to get disillusioned so soon. If it is not in that pocket, then it is not. So I'm saving it. I'm not looking into it. People become closed. Perhaps they are afraid. That there may be better philosophy. The world is big, and there are. And there may be more speakers, languages, and there are. And there may be better literature, and there are. It is better to keep your eyes closed so you can remain self-satisfied that you have the best in the world. This is called the logic of the ostrich. Seeing the enemy, the ostrich immediately puts his head deep into the sand and he cannot see the enemy anywhere because in the sand his eyes are closed naturally he sees there is no enemy I feel about the French people that they are ostriches. Somebody needs to pull their heads out of the sin and tell them that the world is big. And Jean-Paul Sartre is not the only philosopher. And your painters are not the only painters, and your musicians are not the only musicians. The world is one, and we should not keep apart. We should not create citadels around us. They are dangerous. They give you a strange egoistic feeling and don't allow you to mix with human beings around you. I have heard that a Frenchman, even if he understands English, he will pretend that he does not understand. Even if he can speak English, he will speak French. He will not speak English. So this is something inhuman. It does not show the superiority of your language. It simply shows your egoistic idea. Your language may be superior, but speak it, spread it, exchange it with people. Let others also enjoy your literature, your music, your language, your philosophy. But that is possible only if you start enjoying other people's literature and other people's philosophy. And they all have their own dimensions. And life is so vast that nobody can be exhausted. There is something which only Chuang Tzu has, but he is a Chinese. There is something which only Dostoevsky has, but he is Russian. There is something which only Jean-Paul Sartre has, but he is French. There is something only Nagarjuna has, but he is an Indian. And there is something which only Basu has, but he is Japanese. And they are all unique, incomparable. All languages have their own different qualities. And all people have contributed to life. But the French have lived in isolation. That isolation should be broken. It will be helpful for the whole world, and it will be helpful for the French people too. I am coming to try my best.
What do you think of socialism in France as President Putin?
I don't think about politicians at all. They are all of the same breed. Just as you can taste the sea anywhere and it is salt, you can taste the politician everywhere he is coming. It may be more or less. There may be differences of degree, but there are not differences of quality. As far as socialism, whether it is French or whether it is Indian or whether it is Greek or whether it is of other countries, socialism is a compromise. Deep down you have started feeling that communism is right. But your whole vested interests are in favor of capitalism. Some compromise is needed. Some middle path between capitalism and communism. That's what socialism is. It is half-hearted from both the sides. I would like something better than communism. Socialism is not better than communism. No compromise can be better. It is really our failure that we cannot devise a system which is higher than communism. It is possible. There is no problem about it. Just we will have to drop our few vested interests and the society can be on a higher level than any communist society in the world. For example, Soviet Union has been trying for 70 years but has utterly failed. People are still poor. Although now poverty is equally distributed. But that is not a consolation. Yes, it helps in a way, because now the poor people don't have any comparison. There is nobody rich. But they feel equality has come. But this is a very lowest kind of equality. I would like a society of people who are equally rich, not equally poor. And modern science is capable. Modern technology is capable to create a society which is equally rich. But the problem is, the rich would not like it. If all are equally rich, then their egos feel hurt. Then they are no more rich. If all are equally rich, then there are going to be many problems for people who had become accustomed with a poor society. For example, the church, which depends on the poor people. Only the poor go to the church. The rich, the educated, the cultured already know that it is all nonsense. They will not say it, so they are cultured enough. They are sophisticated. They will not say it, so. And if it is needed for just as a formality, they may once in a while visit the church too, but they know it is all nonsense. Their life proves that it is all nonsense. They are not living according to the principles of any religion. Only the poor are the customers of your churches, synagogues. If the poor disappear, synagogues and churches and temples cannot exist. Only the poor go there in the hope, perhaps, if in this life they are not comfortable, after death they can enter into paradise, inherit the kingdom of God. Nobody asks them, what is the relationship between poverty and inheritance of the kingdom of God? What rational relationship is there? It seems more logical that the rich people should inherit the kingdom of God because they have some experience of richness. They are experienced of luxury. The poor people have no experience of comfort, no experience of luxury. They will be in trouble in paradise. I remember I used to say, in a Maharaja's palace in Indore, the Maharaja was a very colorful person. He was deep found while India was under British rule, and the reason was that he was making a palace just in front of Buckingham Palace, better than Buckingham Palace. He was a very colorful person. He had beautiful palaces in India. Although he was dethroned, his son was enthroned. He loved me very much. He was an old man. The first time I stayed in his palace, up to the middle of the night, I could not sleep. For the simple reason, because the mattresses were so comfortable. That they woke me again and again whenever I moved. The whole mattress changed. It was like a water bed. Finally, in the middle of the night, I decided that this is not going to help. I am not accustomed to this luxury. It is better to sleep on the floor. And nobody is here to look at me, so I slept on the floor. Because up to the middle of the night I had not slept. I slept late. The Maharaja came, he saw me sleeping on the floor. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "On that mattress, it was impossible for me." For the simple reason, because I was not accustomed. In Mohammedan heaven, there are beautiful girls who always remain at the age of 16, kids, for eternity. And they are especially to serve the people who come in paradise. Now what the poor people are going to do? In the Mohammedan paradise, rivers are not of water, but of wine. The poor people had never tasted wine. And the religion here goes on telling that wine or any alcoholic beverage is not good, is not virtuous. What these people are going to do? They will die of thirst because water is not available at all. Either you drink wine or you be thirsty. I have heard about a saint who lived in austerity, immense self-torture. He was a perfect Methodist. He died, he had a great following. One of his close disciples could not tolerate the separation. Also died the second day. When he reached paradise, of course the first thing was to find out the master. And he could not believe. Under a beautiful tree, the master was sitting, and it was unbelievable to his eyes. Marilyn Monroe, naked, was hugging the master. He thought, certainly my master was one of the greatest masters. This is the truth. He is being rewarded. He went, fell on the earth, touched the feet of the master and said, "We were right that you are the greatest master. Now I can see how much you are being rewarded." At that moment, Marilyn Monroe said, "You idiot, shut up. I am not his reward. He is my punishment." If everybody is rich, comfortable, happy, educated, cultured, is capable to enjoy music, dance, drama, and all different dimensions of higher value, who will care to go to the churches? Who would bother about politicians? Because now what more they can promise? All that they used to promise you have got. The politicians are afraid they want the world to remain divided into poor and the rich. The priests want the world to be divided into classes. And they are the powerful people. They are presenting science and technology to change the face of the earth. Socialism is not the need. The need is a higher form of communism. And when I say a higher form of communism, I mean a classless society, equally rich, with equal opportunity, with no dictatorship of the proletariat, with no democracy even, but only a meritocracy. People of merit. Should have the destiny of the country in their hands. Just as you cannot decide truth by voting, you cannot decide merit by voting. If truth was dependent on a democratic way, then no truth was ever going to win. Lies will win. because the majority will not understand the truth. It was said when Albert Einstein was alive that only 12% in the whole world understood what exactly the theory of relativity means. Now, if theory of relativity has to be decided by a majority voting, it is going to lose. People cannot even understand it. Even Einstein was incapable to explain it to people, to laymen. If truth cannot be decided democratically, then merit can also be not decided by election. The merit should be decided by the acts of the person, his education, his contribution. If a man contributes about education, writes about education, gives new dimensions and new programs for meditation, for education, helps to improve the intelligence of people, then he should be given a chance to manage the education of the country. Not a politician who can manage to get more votes. And we have experts in education, experts in finance, experts in every department, geniuses, but those geniuses have no power. Power goes to mediocre people. This is a change. Power should be in the hands of the best. Only then we can hope something good can come out of it. My own idea is something better than democracy, better than communism, a state of meritocracy. We have so many universities. These universities can supply us all our needs, all the people we need. Albert Einstein died in a great despair because he created the atom bomb, but he could not prevent its fuse. And it was used absolutely unnecessarily. The war was going to be finished anyway, at the most 2 weeks more. But President Truman was in a hurry. He was afraid if the war ends, then how he is going to experiment the atom bomb. So before the war ends, the atom bombs have to be dropped. they killed more than 200,000 people, destroyed two beautiful living cities into graveyards. Immense suffering, perhaps never before such suffering was seen. And the man who created it is helpless. All the scientists of the world are simply serving the war machine. They should serve humanity. They should serve life, not war, not death. We had to go through an absolutely radical change. There are many countries who are socialist because the name gives a certain respectability. That they are not capitalist, one thing. That they are not communist, another thing. They are socialist. I am also in favor of the individual, not in favor of the society. Because we have depended on society for centuries, all our revolutions have failed. This time revolution has to come through the individual, not through the society. Society is non-existential. Socialism means nothing. The reality is the individual. And the individual can be changed, can be transformed. And if more and more individuals are transformed, they are freed from the past conditioning, they are freed from their retardedness, which has been imposed on them. If they are freed from complete discontinuity with the past, and an opening for the future, we can create societies which will not be socialistic, which will be absolutely individualist. Of course, those individuals will be able to love, which will be able to be together, which will be able to enhance each other's lives. They will create a togetherness, but not something of the old society again repeated. A very loose togetherness which keeps everybody absolutely free. A loose network of individuals where nobody is forced to do something or to be something, but is capable just to be himself as he is, and is accepted with dignity. a kingly admirer, my people in my. Fascism is the worst and meritocracy is the best. The criterion is anarchism. Whichever regime is closer to anarchism is better. Closest to anarchism is the best. Whichever is farther away from anarchism is worse. Fascism is the farthest. Dictatorship the farthest. They are the worst. Anarchism is my criterion. The best regime can only be meritocracy, which will be very close to anarchism. Just one step more and all regimes disappear. Anarchism, no government, means absolute freedom. And freedom is the ultimate value of life. I have in my sannyasin 40% Jew. And I love Jews more than I love anybody else. For the simple reason, because they have suffered the most. They deserve the love of everyone. They have been suffering for centuries, being killed, burned, raped, everything ugly and inhuman has been done to them. How I can be empty? This is how your yellow generalism goes on spreading lies. About Adolf Hitler, I had made a statement which has been distorted. I had said that Adolf Hitler and Mahatma Gandhi are not very different. Immediately, journalists thought I'm admiring Adolf Hitler, comparing him with Mahatma Gandhi. I was simply condemning Mahatma Gandhi. But it seems its stupidity has no limit. I made it clear that why I am saying this. I am saying this because Mahatma Gandhi was not a non-violent person. Non-violence was his quality. He used it and used it very cleverly. But in his own personal life, he was a very violent man. And I had given many examples of his violence F, which cannot be interpreted in any other way. For example, his own eldest son, Haridas Gandhi, wanted to go to his school, but Gandhi won't allow him. He was against education. He was against everything that has been invented after the spinning wheel. And when the spinning wheel was invented, nobody knows. It seems everything else that you have got is after the spinning wheel. He wanted to destroy everything after the spinning wheel. That has to be the final and ultimate technology. There is no need of any education. The three arts can be taught in the house. But Haridas was really talented young man. He revolted against Gandhi and he went to school. He went to college. His uncle supported him. And after his university, when he came back, Gandhi closed the door on his face and told him that you have died to me the day you went to school against my will. Now what do you say? Is it violence or non-violence? The very effort to impose your will on somebody else is violence. And the boy has not done anything wrong. He simply wanted to be educated. He was not committed a murder. coming back from the university with a degree, Gandhi behaved in such a way, and he told his wife that, "I don't want to see the face of Haridas again. He should not be allowed to enter the compound of the house." And in his will he wrote, because in India, when a person dies, his eldest son gives fire to his funeral pyre. He had not forgotten. He was not a man to forget. He has written it in his will that Haridas should not be allowed to put fire into my dead body. Even into dead body. He used to teach that all religions are one. Hinduism and Mohammedanism particularly, because that was the political problem in India. That Mohammedans were asking a separate country. And he wanted the India to remain one. For the simple reason, so that it remains under Hindus. Because if country was one, Hindus had the majority. The Mohammedans will always be second, they can never be in power. There was no possibility of their ever being in power. But he played a very cunning role of being ashamed that all religions are one. And every morning and evening he was singing devotional songs with his disciples of Hindus and Mohammedans, Christians. Haridas was really a man of guts. I know him personally. I love the man. I always love the people who had some rebellion in their blood, some disobedience in their very bones. Some individuality in their marrow. He had told me himself that just to see how deep this synthesis of religions is, he became a Mohammedan. Of course, he changed his name. He asked the Mohammedan priest who was changing him, converting him into Mohammedanism, that please keep my name exactly the same, just change it into Arabic. His name was Haridas. Haridas means servant of God. So he said, keep it exactly the same. His new name was Abdullah Gandhi. Abd Allah is Arabic for Haridas. It simply means servant of God. And Mohammedans were very happy that Mahatma Gandhi's son has become Mohammedan, that proves superiority of Mohammedanism over Hinduism. So they gave him the title of Maulana. It is equal to Mahatma, a great soul. So he became Maulana Abdullah Gandhi. And Gandhi was so serious. But even his wife had to tell him that this is delusion. You say every religion is one. So it doesn't matter whether he has become Mohammedan or if he becomes Christian. To you it is all the same. This is the time to prove that what you say you mean. But he was so angry, he could not sleep the whole night. And he said, if this boy has died from the very birth, I would have been happy. Do you think this is non-violent attitude? Even the desire that he would have died, is it not a subtle desire to kill him? It is violent. I was talking about all this when I referred that there is not much difference between Adolf Hitler and Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi is a hypocrite. Adolf Hitler is an straightforward, violent man. Otherwise, both are saints. Adolf Hitler never smoked. He was vegetarian. He always went to bed early and got up early in the morning. What more do you want in a saint? But I was simply condemning Mahatma Gandhi, not admiring Adolf Hitler. I was saying that these things became simply in Mahatma Gandhi. That he was not smoking, that he was not taking tea, that he was going to bed early and getting up early in the morning. These things made him a saint. And the same things are not making Adolf Hitler a saint. And both are by their very nature very violent. Just it was a different situation. That Gandhi had to use non-violence as a political strategy. And there are immense proofs. Before India became free, an American journalist, Lucifer, asked Mahatma Gandhi, what will happen to the army when India becomes free? Gandhi said, there will not be any army. No net. No air force. All from these degrees you go into the promised kingdom. So what about the ark? They will be thrown into the ocean. Students say that nothing happens. Army is remain the same bigger. And India attacked Pakistan. Because Pakistan has taken a certain land in Kashmir. And Gandhi blessed three aeroplanes who were going to bomb Pakistan. Now this is the man just few years before who was saying all arms should be thrown into the ocean. Now he blesses. He came out of his house to bless the aeroplanes who were just flying, waiting for his blessing. I don't see any difference. The only difference is Adolf Hitler is straightforward. Gandhi is a hypocrite. Otherwise, both are saints.
Are you interested in the mystery of the third world?
I hate poverty. I don't want anybody to be poor in the world. The third world consists of poor nations, backward nations. And I want all those people who have been keeping these nations poor to be punished. All religions are against birth control. That goes on increasing the population of the world. Now what do you want? Pope goes on teaching that birth control is sin and there will be more and more poor people. Should I be responsible for it? In my commune for 4 years not a single baby was born. If people listen to me, there will be no poverty. Still there is time. The poverty can be absolutely stopped. For 30 years, absolute birth control. I am not in favor of going and serving the orphans. On the one hand, you teach against birth control, so orphans are created. And then you serve the orphans and you get Nobel Prizes. It is really good business. I simply don't want to have anything to do with this business. Poverty can be destroyed and should be destroyed, and anybody who prevents it from destroying is committing a criminal act and should be behind the bars in every nation. And the poor people need not be poor. If we decide only one thing, that we are not going to have a third world war. Our 75 finances and energies are going into third world war, which is absolutely absurd, because it will destroy everybody. Nobody is going to be a winner, nobody is going to be defeated. It is suicidal, it is not war. It has lost all meaning, because you cannot win, you cannot defeat. A simple understanding that all this energy that you are wasting on nuclear weapons should move to poor countries. Just few days before, I saw that in the European common market they have had so much surplus food that the problem is how to destroy it. Just the cost of destroying it is $4 billion. It is not the cost of the food, it is the cost of drowning it into the ocean, loading it, unloading it, taking it into the ship, drowning it in the ocean. This is simply the cost. It is not the cost of the food, which will be 1,000 times more. They are ready to destroy it. Every year, somewhere or other, food is being destroyed. And somewhere or other, people are dying in thousands just because they don't have food, they don't have drinking water. Just a little sanity. What is the need to destroy the food? If you are ready $4 billion in destroying it, perhaps it may take a little more to send it to Ethiopia, and millions of people can be saved. But nobody is interested in anybody. Everybody is interested in money. The food has to be destroyed so values in the market don't go down. The only concern is that you can go on exploiting people, more money. I am deeply concerned, but my concern is different than the concern of Pope the Pollock and Mother Teresa. Their concern is coming. Their concern is political. Their concern is to increase their numbers. If there are poor people, they can be changed, converted into Catholic religion. My concern is to destroy poverty completely. And just three steps can do it. One is absolute birth control for 30 years. Second is, because there is no possibility of a third world war, that will be absolutely ridiculous. Stop preparing for it and divert the money to the poor people. And the third is, every country should make a law for euthanasia. Just as birth control is needed on one end, we stop new people coming in, we help old people who want to go out. They should not be prevented. 75 years, 80 years can be made a line. After that, if the person wants to live, he will allow him to live. But if he wants to drop his body, our hospitals will help him to die a beautiful death, silent, as if he is falling in deep sleep. Every hospital should have a death section where a meditator should be there who can teach the people who are dying meditation. Before death, 1 month they should remain there so they can learn meditation, they can learn relaxation, and they can die peacefully, happily, meeting their friends, their children, their relatives, and saying them goodbye knowingly, and then slipping slowly into sleep, into meditation, and passing away from the body into the eternity. If these three things are to be done, the world can live like a paradise.
What has ever made you unhappy, and what has made you most happy?
Nothing makes me unhappy, and nothing makes me most happy. I am simply blissful. And blissfulness is something beyond happiness, unhappiness. Happiness and unhappiness are of the mind. They are dependent on some cause. Something makes you happy, something makes you unhappy, but it is always something else. Blissfulness depends nothing but on your own inner being. You are centered in yourself. and that gives you such serenity, such joy, that all happiness, all unhappiness seem to be far away echoes, meaningless.
You have
only three
disciples in France. How do you explain
this to people? I am even surprised to have two disciples. But I will have more. Just let the French government enter me in. And before they force me out, I will have to that is absolutely nonsense. I am against drugs. I have to be against drugs for the simple reason because meditation cannot grow if you are taking drugs. Drugs make you unconscious and meditation makes you conscious. They are opposites to each other. Drugs are needed by people who are miserable, so that they can drown their misery in unconsciousness. People who are meditating do not need drugs, because if they use drugs, they will drown their blissfulness into unconsciousness. And that will be absolutely irrational, unnatural. Who wants to forget blissfulness? Everybody wants to forget misery, suffering, anguish. My whole teaching is meditation. And drugs are against it. How I can support drugs? It is a contradiction, but that's how lies go on being spread against me by people who do not have any argument against what I am saying. Against my way of life, against meditation, they have nothing to say. Now all that they can do is spread lies. Every day cuttings are brought to me. It makes me laugh how people can go on inventing such things. Just the other day there was a cutting that American police is after me and I am hiding from American police because against me there are charges of manslaughter. sex orgy, drug abuse. American government has prevented me to enter America for 5 years. I am absolutely willing right now to enter America. But the government does not want me to enter America, and these newspapers are publishing that I am hiding. And is this a way of hiding? Talking every morning, every evening to news media from all over the world, is this a way of hiding? Have you seen anybody hiding in this world? It is certainly a curse from God, but not due to licentiousness. It is a curse from God because of the teachings of the church, of celibacy, which is unnatural. Of keeping monks and nuns separate, which is unnatural, which is bound to create homosexuality. Homosexuality is a religious disease, and the church is responsible for it. God Himself is responsible for it. Because in the Christian Trinity, God is there, the Father, the Son Jesus Christ is there, and who is this guy, Holy Ghost? There is no woman there. It is a gay group. And I suspect this Holy Ghost is a boyfriend of God. I don't know about him. I have many things to say to him. I don't think he can manage to say anything to me. Most probably he will escape when I enter Italy. While he was in India, I had challenged him that I want a public debate. And like a coward, he remained silent. I will go to Italy. He has already informed Italian Catholic news media that they should not publish anything about me, far or against, negative or positive. Now what this man can have to say to me? I have thought always that folks are a little retarded, but I have never thought that they are such cowards. But this man seems to be both. I have certainly many things to say to him, because he is one of the greatest signals in the world today, and I have to point every crime that he is committing. So for posterity's sake, it should be taken note of that there was somebody who has pointed who is the cause and who is the man who is creating all these troubles. And I have to ask many questions to this man. I know perfectly well that he had no answer for anything, because for 20 centuries none of the popes has been able to answer anything. Even Jesus Christ had no answer for anything. Just making a statement without any rational support, without any argument. Jews are not such hard people. I have come to know them very closely. I have been joking about them continuously, but they have not even felt offended. I don't think they would have crucified Jesus if he had rationally supported his statements. His statements were just outrageous. I am the only begotten Son of God. Now what support of reason, evidence he has got? Has he got any certificate? And if Jews who are not hard people, very loving and soft, even if they had to crucify him, the reason must have been that he was becoming a pain in the neck. Just an uneducated guy talking nonsense, neither gives any evidence nor remains silent. He must have been too much of a pain. Finally they decided it is better to get rid of it. They got rid of him, and since then they have been sorry, because they lost the biggest business their own boy has created. Christianity is the biggest firm in the whole world. No business firm can compete with it. And their own boy did it. And they missed the turn. I have to ask many questions to him. And I would like that he gathers courage and encounters me in Vatican before all his cardinals and bishops and archbishops and priests and all his followers. I want to ask these questions to him before his own people, so they can see also the emptiness of the representative of God, who is infallible. But I don't think he has anything to ask me. It is going to be a great event in the history of Christianity if he gathers courage and is able to receive me in Vatican and answer my questions. But I am suspicious. I don't think that this man is man enough . He is just hollow. Nothing is solid in him. It is one thing to talk to the Christians, to the Catholics, who believe in you, who cannot question you, who cannot doubt you. It is totally different thing to talk with me. He will have to prove every single word that Christianity stands upon. But right now he is showing his cowardice by preventing the news media not to let Italy know that I am coming to Italy. He is so afraid, he is telling the news media not even to write negative articles against me. Because even that will make people aware that I am here. But I have my own ways. Every news media is going to report me. Even Catholic news media are going to report me. they will have to, because I am going to hit from God to the pole of Pope as hard as possible. And I will remain in Italy until the whole country becomes aware of me. I will move to every city and talk to people directly. I may even choose to remain there forever. I don't have children, but I love children. And I want it to be known that it is good to love children. It is not good to have children. No. There is no possibility of any nuclear war soon or later. The nuclear weapons itself have stopped the possibility. Because the war is going to be so total, it has lost its meaning.
Do you support the death penalty?
No. I don't support death penalty. For the simple reason, somebody murders a man and you kill that man as penalty. He has committed a crime, now the society is committing the same crime as penalty. By your penalty, the man who has been murdered is not going to come alive. By your penalty, whereas there was only one man murdered, now there are two men murdered. This is sheer nonsense. The person who has murdered, you are not being fair. You are simply taking revenge. If you were fair, you would send the murderer to a psychiatric home to be taken care of. Something is wrong in his mind. Something is wrong in his psychology, for which he is not responsible. He can be treated. And not only about death penalty, I am against all kind of punishment. Because punishment does not change the person. In fact, makes him a harder criminal. Every crime is basically something to do with psychology. The man's mind is not in the right state. He needs care. He needs compassion. He needs the support of the society so he can be replaced back with dignity and respect into the society. Up to now, we have been very murderous. Civilization has not happened yet. We have been barbarous. Death penalty and all kinds of punishment simply prove our barbarous approaches. A civilized humanity will treat people who are criminals. They need to be sent to the hospitals, psychiatric hospitals, not to the jails.
What kind of a future do you wish for the most?
A future where every individual is absolutely free from religion, from nation, from race, from color.